Welcome to the Growing Together podcast, a show for inspiring conversation and practical steps to help your church become the church where all generations thrive. I'm your host, Justin Koo, and today my guest is Benjamin Lundquist. He's a director for young adult ministries at the Oregon Conference of Seventh-day Adventists and the host of the Rise and Lead podcast. Ben is an international speaker and Patterson Life Plan facilitator based in Portland, Oregon. So we're mixing things up today. We got Caleb in the room and Ben.
Yes. Very excited about this combo.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. It's been a while since we've been hanging out. So today we're going to be talking about fueling warm community.
Yeah. And I think this is really important specifically when it comes to church, because even in the Growing Young program, it's still a program. There's another step that you have to move past to get to the community part. And so if we could just open up just asking you, Ben, what's your opinion on the difference between programming and community?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. When you think about community, I think about every aspect that would affect the life of a church. So that's every aspect generationally. That would be every aspect of where you put your time and your money and what you're investing in. And I feel like a program is really a focused initiative in an area where, when you think about affecting a community, community is really life, and it's really about people doing life together. That's the heart of mentorship, is that two people are doing life together. It's not me teaching Caleb or Caleb teaching me or with Justin, but it's about two people doing life. And so I think about community is really about all aspects of life, how they dovetail, how they connect, how they're part of each other, where a program is much more focused in a certain area.
This is really interesting because church, it sounds, if I had to choose one path or the other, right, it's a false dichotomy, but if I had to choose program or community, it seems like the majority of churches kind of lean towards programming.
And I think that's that may go back to the way we've often done evangelistic series, or we've approached initiatives. When you think of a program has a designated start time and a designated end time. We're going to start this evangelistic series at this date, and in 5 weeks, it's going to conclude. There's going to be some follow-up. So I think we've all often been wired to think in terms of initiatives with a specific start time and end time. When you think about investing in a community, it's as long-term as God will allow and the Holy Spirit will lead. And so it's a much different approach when you're talking about building a community, because there is no end date in sight. It's really about long-term health forever. And I think for some people in the local church, that's intimidating because they like that end time. They like to know.
We like to know 12 o'clock, we're out of here.
Like, okay, your sermon's going to go 30 minutes and then I'm going to be out, or this series is going to go 5 weeks and I'm going to be done. So it's a little different approach, but it's, again, about building that health of the community long term.
It's funny because we were in Washington, D.C. at one of our black churches, and there was this designated type of parking that said no early leaving, like you're here till 2 p.m.
That is so,
do not leave the parking lot before 2 p.m.
Like, if you park here, you're going to get boxed in and you're stuck, whether you're not.
So what's been really interesting to me is the questions people ask when they're talking about bringing young people into the church. And the questions tend to be, how can we make the program better? Right? How can we make the program itself more appealing?
Which is nice. We like good programs.
Sure, good programs are fine. But, you know, on my personal story, when I tell people I was brought into a church that sang hymns full of old people, you know, like small little country, like pretty traditional church. Why? Well, it's because despite all of that programming, right, that kind of style, they managed to build community. And so I think, you know, people stress about, like, okay, well, how far ahead are we in technology? How far ahead are we on, you know, great messages and online content? And those things are important, but maybe what are some better questions to ask than do we put in a guitar or a drum set?
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I want to say, Caleb, that having heard your story and how you, well, connected and begin to do life with the Orangeburg Church in South Carolina, your story is inspiring, and it's also inspiring that any church, regardless of geographic location or size, can really love people well. Todd Bolsinger launched a book called Canoeing the Mountains, which is an excellent leadership book. And the premise of his book is so many times churches and organizations, they look for technical solutions to adaptive challenges. And the meaning is, the point there is, we often are looking for what's that program? What's that thing that we can buy? What's that? What's the extra initiative that we can put on the calendar? And we're trying to solve adaptive challenges by looking for technical solutions. And so when I think about why you resonated with the Orangeburg Church, it's because the culture of that church became more loving and warm over time.
Yeah.
And you didn't come because they had an amazing young adult Sabbath school.
Yeah.
You
nope.
came because that pastor, knowing your story, reached out to you for over a year and would come visit you. And he built a culture that was warm and inviting. And I would just say it was probably, and push back if I'm wrong on this, but it's probably more of the culture that drew you in than it was any technical aspect of that church community.
I was living life alongside these members before I came to church. So an easy way to do this, food is number one, right? Take somebody out to eat. Yeah. I mean, that's the simplest go-to. But number two, you know, I was broke. I was a broke college student, and I can't tell you how many times I was at somebody's house working for them while they paid me double what I could make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, come on Sunday, I'll give you $150 to just help me move things down from my attic or to help me work in the garden or something. More than fair, you know, beyond fair for what I was able to do. But I knew the whole time that it wasn't, you know, about kind of exploiting my labor or anything like that. It was, they're giving me a gift and kind of creating a situation where we can do something beneficial together.
I love that.
So I was just going to, because I love hearing Caleb's story because you get to see it played out from his perspective. But I'd really love to know how you approach your role here at the church, because if there's any type of position that it's easy to lend towards programming, I think it's in your position.
Yep.
Because you don't run an actual predefined community. It's not like you say, these are my youth group, like this is my young adults. Like what you do largely is programs. It's oh, we have a night of worship, we have a retreat, we have a thing. And so I would imagine that's very easy to define your success or failure by attendance at a specific program. And yet when I reflect on what has happened here in Oregon for the last couple of years, I remember being just down the hall and one of your very first kind of community gatherings of young adults. Yep. I remember like, man, there's something different about what's going to happen here. I remember thinking that in advance, like, there's something different here. There's a community here, and it's not just about having some really great music, you know, once every quarter. You approach things with a community perspective. I'm curious, like, what has had to shift in your thinking to go from programming to community?
That's a great question and a very loaded question, Justin. So thank you so,
so
much.
So in
for
the
that.
Next 5 minutes that we got in this episode, we're going to do a part two of this. So
here's what I would say. Programs are a means to accomplish mission, but the mission is not programming. So what I mean by that is whether we're doing camp meeting for young adults or a worship night or a community service initiative in the community, I have a threefold intentional approach to all the programming. Number one is we want to share the gospel and the freedom of Jesus at every single program that we can. We do that a whole bunch of different ways. But making sure the gospel of love and freedom from Jesus, what he offers, is going out. Second, that we are modeling healthy culture. So as I engage with a team of leaders putting on a worship night or a program, we are modeling what healthy culture looks like with the hope that that healthy culture will be translated back to the local context. And third, we're putting people in situations where they have to grow as leaders. Mm. So really, the programming for me is just one initiative to moving mission forward of sharing the gospel, modeling healthy culture so it can be replicated at the local level, and then looking at all programming as opportunities to grow people into leadership. So that's kind of been my approach. Do I love programming? I love what programming does for mission. And so I think there, but there's always that understanding that what we're doing here, it's about the gospel, and it's about growing healthy culture, and it's about developing leaders. So that's kind of my mission behind the programming, and it's really about modeling that and then helping it be translated back to the local church.
I think this is super interesting because it wasn't very long ago that Caleb was a transplant to this community.
Yep.
And within the very first experience of Caleb coming here, yep, he was thrown into this exact experience where,
yes,
he was being able to be a part of this leadership community, be able to see what it was like to work within this community of young adults and to have that kind of impact. We've talked about what it was like in that first time that you're kind of playing a role up on stage, being out of your comfort zone, but then also being able to see this kind of this mission and these values influence your, mm-hmm, life. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I think, you know, I want to credit you, Ben, because since we live here, there's a lot that doesn't show up on your media, right?
And
that
you post a lot of media for all things being equal.
Well, we all do.
We all do.
But
thank you for calling me out on that.
To live here,
it was a praise.
To live here in the area and to constantly be bumping into you when you're with a group of young adults from a local church at the food carts, when, you know, you're out walking your dog and there's somebody that I recognize from some other church with you. You know, all of these different areas that you're showing up that don't get posted about. I think those are the real secret, right? Those are the real, like, those are the things that I, from the outside, watched happen, even as I was being included and even as I was kind of like, you know, taking an early role in leadership here. It was always those moments outside of what was being televised, what was outside of what was being programmed, that I really formed an opinion of this community and our leadership here. But yeah, coming in, you know, I had only the context that I had lived in to compare it to. And I realized that only at my local church had I been given a meaningful leadership role. That was the only time in my adult life that the church had reached out and said, like, you know, aside from speaking, this is your opportunity to do something, and you have agency to do it, and you have agency and the opportunity to fail, mm-hmm, even. We'll talk a little bit later, probably on a future episode, about what happens when young leaders fail and what to do with it. But, you know, those early moments of seeing how you dealt with people through, you know, wins and losses and all of that, I think really were the hook, mm-hmm, right? Where I bought in 100% to this community, and I said, I want to be, you know, part of this 100%.
And I could say, you know, thank you so much for that. And that does mean a lot to have you share that perspective. And I remember we threw you into the deep end right off the bat.
So bad.
Like, okay,
so stressful.
You're coming to live in Oregon. Okay. You know, we need you right here at this time, and then let's go. And then coupled with the passion of Justin, I mean, man, you were in for a pretty wild ride over those first couple of years. But
back up. It's not even been the first couple of years. This
I just finished year one.
This is year one.
Seems like you've been here 5 years.
I was here 2 weeks or 3 weeks before I was up on the stage for camp meeting, leading out the crowd, like, all right, guys, what are we talking about today?
And talk about pushing young leaders and putting them out of their comfort zone. Caleb is the kind of person who, will, even though he's given the same presentation literally a dozen times, he will still spend hours,
absolutely,
like, rehearsing it and practicing it. 10 minutes before he's supposed to go on stage, you just spent, I don't know, 5 hours preparing your thing that you're going to do with Chantel. You're like, hey, what if we talk about something different tonight?
Oh, the panic.
One thing I've noticed with and Caleb, this is just part of your wiring, you appreciate me giving you a couple weeks in advance notice.
Please, every time.
Like the last minute, you know, you'll rise to the occasion, but your preference is, yes, you know, hit me about 3-5 weeks out. We, yep, can get this prepped. You know, I think for me, and I don't want to ever give the impression that 10-15 years ago that this approach was, it was on paper, it was well oiled, it was ready to go. I think it's just, I've just grown into an approach by watching people who, yep, have taught me a lot. You know, my friend Brad Lomanick from Catalyst and different mentors that I have, the way they define leadership and they build community and they build culture and they develop people. And so I think my approach is really just stealing the best of the approaches of people that have invested in my life. And so, you know, I and this is through the Growing Young cohort, and I think you can read it from you know, a lot of the growing young commitments, but the idea that, you know, you have to define leadership accurately. And for me, that is that leadership is influence and every person is a leader. So when Caleb, you came on the scene a year and a half ago for those 2 weeks, right off the bat, it was already given that I was engaging with you as a fellow leader. Yep. And so when you, and I think that comes, that really comes back to that idea of warm community with growing young. When you see people as equally called by God to people, you engage with respect and you give worth and value because you're on an equal playing field. And so one of our battle cries, I guess, with Oregon young adults has always been, we don't do ministry for young adults. Mm. That doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
We do ministry with young adults as co-leaders, equally called by God to fulfill the purpose that he has for their life. And we found that the more you work together, the more purpose gets accomplished. Mm. I can help complement what Justin does. He can do that for me. I can do that for you, Caleb. You can do that for me. So I think part of the that building that empowering community is just asking yourself, do I look at the person, do I look at the people in my community as equals? Mm. And do I look at them as having the same level and depth of calling by God as I do? And when you do, you can't help but respect people and invite people and want to empower people because you would want that to, you would want somebody to do that same thing for you.
Absolutely. I'm going to put a pin in this because we're talking about this leadership idea of doing ministry, not for, but with, kind of on this broader perspective at a conference level. In our next episode, we're going to be looking at what does that look like at a local church level? Someone might be listening saying, great, Ben, if I was in your position, I could do the same thing if I had access to the healthy budget that you have, or whatever the, you know, whatever the thing is. I want to talk about what does this look like on a local church, because the reason why you're here, the reason why you have these ideas, like you said, is you've seen it modeled in other areas. You've tried it and you've had the opportunity to fail and find things that have worked. So I want to look at what does this look like on a smaller scale, on a local church level in our next episode.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.